world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Oops. That's not right. All right. So we're on page 12, volume 24, 7728. I had the sorrow of being a king without a people, and if those who surrounded me could be called a people, it was a sick people. Some are blind, some are mute, some are deaf, some are crippled, some are covered with wounds. That's us. Well, Jesus wants to heal us of all of this. It was a people that gave me dishonor, not honor. Even more, I did not even know, it did not even know me, nor did it want to know me. And so I was a king only for myself, and my Mama Mary was queen without the long generation of her offspring, of her royal children. But in order to be able to say that I had a kingdom and to rule, I had to have priests. And even though I had St. Joseph as prime priest, one priest only does not constitute a ministry, and I had to have a great army, all intent on fighting to defend the rights of the kingdom and my divine will, and a faithful people that would have as law only the law of my most holy divine will. So Jesus says this is going to happen. He says it's very, very clearly. Volume 24, 8-28. After this, I continued my acts of the divine volition. I kept feeling oppressed, and my sweet Jesus, making himself seen again, seemed to hold three or four priests tightly in his arms and holding them against his breast as if he wanted to infuse in them the life of his divine heart. And he told me, "My daughter, look how tightly I hold in my arm those who must occupy themselves with the writings of my most adorable will. And as soon as I see some little disposition in them to occupy themselves with these writings, I take them in my arms to infuse in them what is needed for a work so holy." So God is going to do this. He's waiting. He's planning on this. Volume 24, 8:28-28. The truths about my fiat are the new gospel of the kingdom and of my divine will, in which they shall find the norms of the Son, the teachings of how to ennoble themselves, to elevate themselves to their origin, to go back to paradise, to take the state given to them by God at the beginning of creation. They shall find the gospel that, taking them by the hand, shall lead them into true happiness and into constant peace. So Jesus is asking us to enter into that now, true happiness and constant peace, no matter what is happening around us. The only law shall be my divine will, that with its breath of love dipped in the vivid colors of its divine light shall give back to mankind the likeness of his God. And oh, how they should have yearned to receive, to make known a good so great, but instead, all the opposite. That's where we are again. Think about this. The book of heaven, Jesus said, "I've waited 6,000 years to give it to my people." And in how they should have yearned to receive and make known to ourselves this great good, but instead all the opposite. See, Jesus says, "I'm waiting for the souls to want this more than anything." And he's looking at us. In redemption, the evangelists consider themselves honored to make themselves known as the ones who were putting out the gospel, that it might be known to by the whole world, and with glory they mark their names, so much so that when the gospel is preached, the name of the one who wrote it is stated first, and then is the gospel spoken. So I, God, want it to be done with the truths of my divine will, that everyone may know who the ones are that brought so much good into the world. And again, this is why I wear this stole. This is the stole that I got at the the canonization of St. Honorable de Francia. He is the one. I remember one of the talks, the Archbishop was giving a talk, and I'm sitting in the front row, and he's talking, and you can see he's, what am I going to say next? You know, and it was that look in his eye, and he looked down, he saw the Saint Honorable, and then he started talking about Saint Honorable, like how great this apostle was, the apostle of the new era. And again, He's the one that Saint John Paul II said is in charge of vocations. If you want vocations, you go to this man. You go to Saint Honorable de Francia. And I'll tell you, the Lord is going to do great blessings. He's working very, very hard in the kingdom for all of us. So pray to him. Go to him. Volume 25, 10, 7, 28. My daughter, this group of people whom you see all in motion for the opening of the house of my divine will is symbolic of that group that when I wanted to be born in Bethlehem, the shepherds were coming and going to visit me, a little baby. This pointed out to all the certainty of my birth. In the same way, this group of people, all in motion, points out the rebirth of the kingdom of my divine will. See, when Jesus looks at us, he says, this is the rebirth of my kingdom, starting right here in this room. Look how all of heaven echoes my birth. When the angels celebrated and announcing to me the shepherds and putting them in motion, making them keep coming to me, and I recognize in them the first fruits of the kingdom of my redemption. So now in this group of people, of little girls and nuns, I recognize the beginning of the kingdom of my divine will, and oh, how my heart exults and rejoices, and all of heaven makes feast, just as the angels celebrated my birth. So they do they celebrate the beginning of the rebirth of my fiat in the midst of creatures. But look how my birth was more neglected, more poor. I had not even one priest near me, but only poor shepherds. On the other hand, the beginning of my volition, there is not only a group of nuns and little girls from out of the town, and a people rushing to up to celebrate the opening. This is Anthony's orphanage. But there is an archbishop and priest representing my church. This is symbol and announcement to all that the kingdom of my divine volition shall be formed with more magnificence, with greater pomp and splendor than the very kingdom of my redemption. And everyone, kings and princes and bishops and priests and apostles and peoples, shall know the kingdom of my divine fiat and shall possess it. Therefore, you too, celebrate this day, in which my sighs and sacrifices and yours to make my divine will known, to see the first dawn and hope for the sun of my divine fiat to soon rise. Again, this is 1928. It's very close what God's going to do. Volume 25, 10, 10, 28. This is why, as I heard them read and take decisions to occupy themselves with the publications, I felt the nightmare being removed from me, and the weight that compresses the flames of my heart being lifted. And so it beat more strongly, and it throbbed, and it made you hear the repetition of all those excesses of love, more so, since what I do once, I repeat always. My constraint love is a pain for me, and of the greatest, and renders me taciturn and sad, because since my first flames have no life, I cannot release them from the others and that devour me and consume me. Therefore, to those priests who want to occupy themselves with removing this nightmare from me by making known my many secrets, by publishing them, I shall give so much surprising grace, strength in order to do it, and light in order to know themselves first, that they shall make known to others, I, God, shall be in their midst and shall guide everything. Now, it seems to me that every time the reverend priests occupy themselves with reviewing my writings in order to prepare them, my sweet Jesus comes to attention to see what they are, what they do, and how they do it. Volume 25, 1:13-29. How necessary it is the knowledge of my fiat be known. Not only this, but that it be made known that my divine will already wants to come to reign on earth as it does in heaven into the midst of creatures. And it is to the priests as to the new prophets, through the words as well as through the writings and through the works, that the task is given of acting as trumpeters in order to make known what regards my divine fiat. Nor would their crime be lesser than that of the prophets had these hidden my redemption, if they did not occupy themselves as much as they can with regards to my divine will. They themselves would be the cause of a good so great, being neither known or received by the creatures, and to suffocate the kingdom of my divine will, to keep suspended a good so great, such that there is no other similar to it. Is this perhaps not a crime? Therefore, I recommend to you on your part, do not omit anything, Louisa. So he says, don't lose a word, Louisa. Each word is so important to Jesus because it's Jesus. And pray for those who must occupy themselves in making known a good so great. Then he added with a more tender and afflicted tone, my daughter, this was the purpose for which I permitted the necessity of the coming of the priest, that you might deposit in them the sacred, as a sacred deposit, all the truths that I've spoken to you about my divine fiat, that the priests be attentive and faithful executors of what I want. That is, that they, the priests, make known the kingdom of my divine will. Be certain that I would not have permitted their coming if not for the purpose of fulfilling my great designs over the destiny, listen to this, of the human family. And that's what he said to Louisa. He says, Louisa, I put the destiny of man in your hands. The destiny of man is to live in the kingdom. The destiny of man is to be in God's image and likeness in the hands of Louisa. It's hers. And Jesus is so overwhelmed with love, it's so overflowing with love, that he says to us, would you be willing to accept this as well? She's done all the work. Would you be willing to enter into this gift? And our response is yes. Then he says, then read this and study it. Look, I mean, look how she's focused. When I was in the Vatican, her thumbprints were on the pages. They were etched on the pages. I could not get over. I mean, what was she doing with such intensity by focusing on this book? What was she doing? She was in heaven while reading this and studying this. And that's what God is asking of us. And just as the kingdom, just as in the kingdom of redemption, I had left my queen mother, Mary, in the midst of the apostles, so that together with her, helped and guided by Mary, they might give start to the kingdom of the redemption, because of the sovereign queen of heaven knew more than all of the apostles. Mary was the most interested. It can be said that Mary kept it formed within her maternal heart, and therefore Our Lady could very well instruct the apostles in their doubts and in a way in their circumstances. Mary was the true son in their midst. One word of Our Lady's was enough for my apostles to feel strong, illuminated, and fortified in the same way. For the kingdom of my divine fiat, having placed in you, Louisa, the deposit of the divine will, I, God, keep you, Louisa, in the exile still, so that the priests might draw from you, Louisa, as from a new mother, what can serve as light, as guidance, as help, to give start to making known the kingdom of my divine will. And as I see their little interest, and if you knew how much I suffer, their prayer, pray, pray. And that's what Jesus says. I see that the priests have little interest in this. It's the kingdom on earth as it is in heaven that God is going to bring. And he's looking at the priests and he's saying, I want you to have this. I want you to begin to live this. Volume 25, 3, 22, 29. And so shall it be with the kingdom of my divine will. I, God, called you, Louisa, as a second mother of mine. And one-on-one, just as I did with Our Lady in the kingdom of the redemption, I, God, manifested to you, Louisa, the many secrets of my divine fiat, the great good of the divine will, and how the divine will wants to come to reign upon earth. I, God, can say that I have done everything. And if I call my priest so that you might open yourself in order to make it known, my intent was so that the priest would have the interest in making known a good so great. And if this interest were not on the part of the priests, who should occupy themselves with it? Would they put the kingdom of my divine will at risk of dying upon its rising, becoming themselves responsible for the good of a kingdom so holy can bring? Or would they deserve that, putting them aside, I call others as proclaimers and propagators of the knowledge of my fiat, until I find some who have interest and take to heart making known its knowledges more than if it were their own lives, the kingdom of a divine will can have neither its beginnings nor its life upon earth. So Jesus is saying it has to be the priests that do this. And he's waiting. Your responsibility is to pray for the priests and to help them. Father, can you help me? That's what you're saying. Father, I'm focusing on this gift. Can you help me understand this? And that just those little words will open the door for a good priest. Volume 26, 7, 14, 29. Now, after I became sure about you, Louisa, and I secured my work, my acting changed. I made you break the silence, and the ardor of my instructions and of my speaking was such and so great that I can call you, Louisa, the cathedra of my divine will. She is the seat of the divine will. We call Our Lady the seat of wisdom. We call Louisa the seat of the divine will. Amazing. You are the secretary of His most intimate secrets, such that as you were unable to contend them all within yourself, I, God, commanded you to manifest them to my priest. And this acting of mine was necessary. Otherwise, how would my divine will have become known? Volume 27, 1:30. My daughter Louisa, there is much analogy between the way in which the redemption unfolded and the way in which the kingdom of my divine will shall unfold. See, in my redemption, I, God, chose a virgin. In appearance, Our Lady had no importance according to the world, neither riches, either of riches or height or of dignity or positions that would indicate her. The very city of Nazareth was not important. A tiny little house was her whole abode. But even though I chose Our Lady from Nazareth, I wanted for it to belong to the capital city, Jerusalem, in which there was the body of my pontiffs and my priests, who then represented me and announced my laws. For the kingdom of my divine will, I have chosen another virgin, you, Louisa, who in appearance had no importance, either of great riches or height of dignity. The very city of Corrado is not an important city, but it belongs to Rome, in which resides my representative on earth, the Roman pontiff from whom comes my divine laws. And just as the Holy Father makes it his duty to make my redemption known to the peoples, so shall the Holy Father make it his duty to make known the kingdom of my divine will. And it shall be said that one or the other shall possess in the same way and manner as the kingdom of my supreme fiat must unfold. It's coming. You have to understand this. It's very close. Volume 29, 2:17-31. I deprived you of motion. I petrified you, Louisa. And I can say that I made you feel mortal pains, and you would let me do it. And this was nothing other than the strongest tie, was that you could not go out of that state of pains in which your sacrificer, Jesus, had put you. If my priest would not come to call you to obedience, this is why I constituted you, Louisa, true victim. No sick person, not even the very prisoners, are denied motion and seeking help in extreme need. So here we see the Louisa turning into a rock, a stone, lifeless. I mean, she couldn't breathe. She said it was so painful that she couldn't breathe. And she needed the priest to come to free her of this. I mean, we're going to recognize how much Louisa suffered. Jesus suffered the most, Christ crucified. Mary suffered more than any human next to Jesus Christ. And Louisa suffers more than any human next to the Blessed Mother. These are the three that suffered the most. Volume 30, 5:30-32. And then the sacraments they receive according to time, to places, to circumstances. Baptism is given one time and no more. The sacrament of penance is given when one falls into sin. My very sacramental life is given only one time a day. And the poor creature during this length of time does not feel over herself the strength and the help of the baptism waters that regenerate her continuously, nor the sacramental words of the priest that fortify her in a continuous way by saying to her, I absolve you from all your sins. Volume 33, 10:4-35. In regard to the diversity of offices and actions, rather it is an ordinary harmony of my divine, of infinite wisdom. Sorry. Even in heaven there are diversity of chorus of angels, choirs of angels, diversity of saints. One is a martyr, one is a virgin, one is a confessor. On earth, my providence maintains so many diverse offices. One is a king, one is a judge, one is a priest, one is the people, one commands, one is dependent. If all were doing one single office, what would become of the earth? A complete disorder. Oh, if everyone knew that only my divine will knows how to do the greatest things. And though they would be little and insignificant, oh, how they would be all content. Each one would love his little place, the office in which God has placed him. See, there's no more jealousy in the divine will. As a mother, you are doing the greatest thing on earth. As a farmer, you are doing the greatest thing on earth. And see, it doesn't matter what you're doing. When you're in the divine will, every thought, every word, every deed, using your intellect, your memory, and your will, everything is giving glory to God. You are praying to God in a way that no one else can pray. You are looking at God, adoring God, worshiping God, glorifying God as nobody else can do. See, God loves our uniqueness. And he's asking us, he's pleading with us to enter into this gift. There's no need for jealousy. The way God has created you, the where God has created you, when God created you, was for his glory and honor. See, he says, I'm going to make a divine masterpiece out of every soul. And that means to allow God to have his way with you. If you have a Cadillac, good. If you have a little Fiat, good. Whatever God has given you, good. Thank you, Jesus. You want me to adore you with what you have given me, the little or the great. You know, if you can sing, great. If you can't sing, great. If you can dance, great. If you can't dance, great. Everything is for God. And God takes delight in his little children of the Holy Divine Will. You have to begin to understand how much he loves us. That he's thought of us from the beginning of time, the way we are. And he says, I love what I have created. Not only that, but I'm going to bring the loves that I have created into perfection. I'm going to create each person to become a divine masterpiece. This is what God has planned. He says here, oh, if everyone knew that only my divine will knows how to do the greatest things, and although they would be little and insignificant, oh, how they would all be content, and each one would love his little place, the office in which God has placed him. Then he says this, but since they let themselves be lorded over by the human will, they would want to give of themselves to make great actions that they cannot do. Therefore, they are always discontent with conditions or the place in which the divine providence has placed them for their good. Again, whatever you're going through, Jesus is there with you. And Jesus is his, whatever it is, physical, spiritual, mental, emotional, he's saying, this is for your good. Now, when we get to heaven, we're going to thank God for everything that we've ever gone through. Every sorrow, every sadness, every suffering. Because we're going to see that if God did not allow us to go through that, we would not have gotten into heaven. We would have let ourselves into hell. It's the Lord is very stern. I mean, I sometimes I pray, you know, I'm a member of Opus Sanctorum Angelorum. My prayer is, beat me as you would a stubborn mule. I say this to the angels. If I'm not on the right path, beat me as you would a stubborn mule. Bring me to Jesus. Bring me to the kingdom. And unfortunately, they listen to my prayer sometimes. I should be this tall, but I'm only this tall. So this is what Jesus says. He says very, very, he's bringing us to his good. Okay, now the second appeal, this is very important. The appeals first are to the Pope, second is to the priest. And Luisa says, my second appeal I make to all priests, prostrate at the feet of each one, I, Luisa, pray. I implore them to interest themselves in knowing the divine will. priests take your first movement, your first act from the divine will. Rather, enclose yourself in the fiat, and you priests shall feel how sweet and dear this fiat life is. Priests, draw from the divine will with all your workings. Priests, you shall feel a divine strength in you, a voice that always speaks, that shall say admirable things into you that you have never heard. Priests, you shall feel a light that shall eclipse all of your evils, and eclipsing the peoples shall give you the dominion over them. What does that mean? It says to the sheep, walk this way and you won't go to hell. Walk this way and you won't fall into the abyss. How many labors you priests do without fruit because, listen to this, the life of the divine will is lacking. You're not eating the bread of the divine will. Priests, you have broken a bread for the peoples without the leaven of the fiat, and therefore they therefore in eating and found it hard, almost indigestible, and not feeling the divine life in themselves, they do not submit to your teachings. Therefore, priests, you eat this bread of the divine fiat, and thus you priests shall have sufficient bread to give to the peoples. Thus you priests shall form with everyone one single life and one single will. So it's to the priest that Louisa speaks to. If the priest isn't eating the bread of the divine will, they cannot give this to the people. To see how important it is that you help your priest know about Louisa. Give them the relic card of Louisa. When somebody is sick, say, Father, would you pray with this relic card over this person? The person will be healed. Like the priest down in Washington with the little baby. That was 1990, 93, something like that. The priest at that point, he didn't know Louisa, but when he touched the relic to that baby, how the baby turned from gray till pink, he says, who is this? He has a love for Louisa. See, it's the little things that matter. What do you want? What do you believe? You know, how much of this gift do you want? And if you want it, you want your priest to have it. And watch what God will do. The third appeal I make to everyone, to the entire world, for you are all my brothers and sisters and my children. Do you know why I am calling everyone? Because I, Louisa, want to give to everyone the life of my divine will. This is more than air that we can all breathe. It is a sun from which we can all receive the good of this divine light. It is like a palpitation of the heart that wants to beat in everyone. And as the little baby, I, Louisa, yearn for you to take the life of the fiat. Oh, if you knew how many goods you would receive, you would consume your life to make it rain. The divine will rain all of you. This little tiny one, Louisa, wants to tell you another secret. This is a secret that Jesus had confided to Louisa. I tell you so that you give me your human will, and in exchange you shall receive the divine will of God, which shall make you happy in soul and in body. So the secret is here is, who do you give your human will to? Everybody says, we give it to Jesus. Jesus says, that's not the way I'm going to do it. I want you to give it to the one, the human, who gave me her human will. Not the mother of God. She gave me her human will. Not the Son of God. Jesus never lived in his human will. But the human who lived in the divine will. This is what Adam lived. Adam lost it. So what Jesus has done is given it to Louisa so that we can surrender it to her. This is her role. If you want to be a Franciscan, you follow Francis. You follow the rules of Francis. You follow the prayers of Francis. You want to be a Dominican, you follow the rules of Dominic, the prayers of Dominic. You dress like Dominic. If you want the divine will, you go to Louisa. You have to understand this. This is why her image is so important. If you don't have an image of Louisa, go to the internet, find a picture, go to Staples, make one. Make a picture of Louisa. Put it in your home. Let everyone know, especially Jesus and Mary, that you recognize who Louisa is. You understand what the secret that Jesus confided to Louisa. Give me your human will. And in exchange, you shall receive the divine will of God. See, this is again, the Vatican wrote the book. The son, S-U-N, of my divine will is Louisa Picaretta. For the Vatican to do that, if you could have heard the cardinal say, we want these writings for everyone in every language. I mean, this is what's coming. It's a whole new beginning, and our God is asking us, pleading with us to give our fiat. So I need a yellow sheet, and we'll all kneel if we can to pray. Okay, so we'll pray. Let's pray the first prayer. We didn't do that. We're supposed to do that after every Mass. I forgot to do that. I think we were doing something else. Prayer to the Most Holy Divine, Holy Trinity, for the glorification of the servant of God, Louisa Picaretta. O Most Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we praise and thank you for the gift of holiness. She lived, dear Father, in your divine will and became, under the influence of the Holy Spirit, similar to your Son, who died on the cross due to his obedience. She was a victim and a host to you, thus contributing to the redemption of mankind. Her virtues of obedience, humility, supreme love for Christ and the Church, urge us to ask you for the gift. All over the world, in the particular charisma of the fiat voluntas tua, secret in cielo et in terra. We appeal to her merits attained from you, Most Holy Trinity, the particular grace for which we pray to you in your divine will. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, now the prayer of consecration to the divine will. O adorable and divine will, here I am before the immensity of your light, that your eternal goodness may open to me the doors and make me enter into it to form my life all in you, divine will. Therefore, prostrate before your light, I, the littlest among all creatures, come, O adorable will, into little group of the first children of your supreme fiat. Prostrate in my nothingness, I beseech and implore your endless light, that it may want to invest me and eclipse everything that does not belong to you in such a way that I may do nothing other than look, comprehend, and live in you, divine will. It will be my life, the center of my intelligence, the enrapture of my heart and of my whole being. In this heart, the human will no longer have life. I will banish it forever and will form the new Eden of peace, happiness, and of love. With it, I shall always be happy. I shall have a unique strength and a sanctity that sanctifies everything. and gives everything. Here prostrate, I invoke the help of the sacrosanct Trinity, that they admit me to live in the cloister of the divine will, so as to restore in me the original order of creation, just as the creature was created. Sovereign Queen of the divine fiat, take me by the hand and enclose me in the light of the divine will. You will be my guide, my tender mother. You will guard your child and will teach me to live and maintain myself in the order and the bounds of the divine will. Celestial Sovereign, to your heart I entrust my whole being. I will be the tiny little child of the divine will. You will teach me the divine will, and I will be attentive and listening to you. You will lay your blue mantle over me so that the infernal serpent may not dare to penetrate into the sacred Eden, to entice me and make me fall into the maze of the human will. Heart of my highest good, Jesus, you will give me your flames that they may burn me, consume me, and nourish me, to form in me the life of the supreme will. Saint Joseph, you will be my protector, the custodian of my heart, and will keep the keys of my will in your hands. You will keep me heart jealously and will never give it to me again, that I may be sure never to go out of. My guardian angel, guard me, defend me, help me in everything, so that my Eden may grow flourishing and be the call of the whole world into the will of God. Celestial Court, come to my help, and I promise you to live always in the divine will. Amen. And may the blood that flowed upon the wood of this cross free us from our human will, that we live in God's holy divine will always. We ask this in Jesus' name, under the mantle of Mary, through the intercession of Louisa, that this prayer becomes God's command. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you. Could we help clean up?